Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bureau Briefing. It is Carl, and with me today, I have got Mr. J.D. Graffam, the owner of Simple Focus and several other businesses, including some SaaS apps like Ballpark, which he got from Metalab, and Sifter, which he got from my good friend Garrett Diamond, and is used by quite a few people in the Bureau community, including shops like Happy Cog and Electric Pulp. How's it going, J.D.?
Hey, it's going great, Carl. I'm actually at the beach, so I'm having a good time.
Well, you know what? You deserve to be at the beach, because I will tell you, when we first met, I believe it was Owner Camp Denver, and that would have been like late 2014. I remember when we went around the room and we were doing introductions, and you were a man who gave an introduction that it was obvious you were trying to figure a few things out about running your shop. Do you mind sharing with everybody kind of where you were in that like fourth quarter 2014 timeframe?
I don't mind at all. It was a very challenging time for the business. 2014 was rough on a lot of agencies and ours included, for whatever reason. And I had blown a lot of money going to those owner camps. They're worth it. Don't worry. I wholeheartedly recommend them. But when I got on the plane to go out to Denver, I checked the bank account balance in the business operating account, and I got sick to my stomach. I had just had to make payroll and had just let a couple of employees go because things were getting really tight, and I had $67.13 in the bank.
Wow.
And I'm going out here to Denver to meet with all these well-respected agency owners from across the country and the world, and I had a serious imposter syndrome, if I'm being completely honest. I felt like I didn't belong there. And I said, you know what? I spent the money to be here. I'm going to get something out of this. And I need help. And so I laid it all out on the line for everybody. And that's what you're talking about, Carl, I guess, is the tough situation I was in financially with the business and having to let people go. Trying to keep morale up at the office, and I hadn't even told the employees, any of the numbers, but, fortunately I've got a very supportive wife at home, and even though things got tough, that $67.13 began to grow, and we've since pulled out of that nosedive for the business. I guess that's what you're talking about, is how tough that was.
Yeah. I mean, we went around the room, and for those who haven't been to an owner camp, you basically, the very first thing you do is introductions, and everybody gets about three and a half minutes to tell kind of who they are, where they're from, their shop, that sort of thing. And JD just put it out there and said, my name is JD Graffam. I'm the owner of Simple Focus, and I have $67.13 in the bank, right? And everybody just went, oh, man. And it was great, though, because your level of honesty allowed everyone to remember the time where they had been there. I mean, I remember again and again with Engine, where I was like, there's just no way we're going to make payroll. And then magically the check showed up, magically the deposit was going to be due or whatever it was, and somehow you make it. But the thing that's amazing to me, JD, about your story is that you really got innovative with some of what you did. And so I know that you had acquired another shop, but the thing to me that was really innovative was the way you were taking SaaS apps that existed and you were acquiring them and you were kind of making them better. Can you take us through like what your process was? First of all, just thinking about it, like how did you get there? And then how do you find the right app and make it better?
That's a great question, and I'll let you know when I have the right answer to that. But I will tell you.
Well, you're still here, man. You're still here, and you're doing a lot better. So
yeah. Well, we're all still here. Before I answer that question, I'll I'll tell you something that I tell people when they get down on themselves and start thinking, oh, how can I do it? How can I do it? Because I've been through some tough times, and when other people going through tough times come to me, I tell them this. I say, look, I want you to close your eyes. And if you're listening to the podcast right now, feel free to play along. But close your eyes and imagine the biggest loser you know. Someone who's mean, not very intelligent, ugly, right? Whatever it is. This person you just don't have any respect for.
Why does the phrase make America great again keep coming into my head, JD? I don't know what's going on right now.
So you imagine this loser, and you get your eyes closed, okay? So, you know, think about where you're at right now. You're probably sitting at your desk or on a car ride. You're going from one place to another. You got things to do, places to be. And now think about that idiot. and think about what they're doing. You know, are they having lunch? Maybe you're listening to the podcast late at night. Are they getting ready for bed? Have they had dinner? You know, are they at work? Now open your eyes. Here's what you're going to realize: that idiot, that jerk, that dummy is doing just fine. They're surviving. And you're so much more beautiful and smart and capable and hardworking than they are, and nicer. You're going to be just fine. You're going to be just fine no matter what happens. You're going to be just fine.
I am going to save this, and I'm going to play it every morning when I get up for myself.
Well, that's sort of the mindset that I had to use for myself when things got tough. See, here's the thing about October 2014 when I was at Owner Camp is that was a year after I had bought my first SaaS app, which ironically is Pulse.com, which is a cash flow app. And here I am a year later having cash flow troubles because I wasn't, you know, using it the right way. And I didn't really understand how important cash flow management was. But it was a good, solid business that had consistent revenue. And it was part of the formula that helped me pull through a year later because it had profits and it had money sitting in the bank outside of Simple Focus's $67.13. And while I didn't want to touch it, while I thought of that as sacred and separate from Simple Focus's revenue, it was something that did help me sleep at night. And then earlier that year in 2014, I had also bought a local web design agency in Memphis called Deluge Studios from good friend Jeff Presley. And so here I am with $67.13 in the bank, and I've bought two businesses before that. And so you're thinking, okay, well, you dummy, you spent all your money. And, you know, the truth is, yeah, I mean, that was part of the reason that I was in a cash flow crunch is because I was making an investment that was going to be long term for growing the business and stabilizing the cash flow. And that's the thing about cash flow management is that you really got to think about when the money comes in. And that's what I wasn't thinking about. I wasn't being conservative enough. I was being very aggressive with my investments. And, you know, I spent a lot of the money on those acquisitions that I had saved up. But also at the same time, the agency work was slowing down quite a bit. And there was some slow pay stuff and had a couple of big accounts leave right at the same time, which, you know, for any possible clients out there listening to this, they left for really good reasons because our design work was so good and so fast that we got too far ahead of their internal development teams for them to keep up with us. And they said, we got to put the brakes on this. But they put the brakes on it at the same time. And so, you know, it takes a long time to find a, you know, replacement customers for big accounts. You know, it's easy to backfill with little stuff, but we were doing that. But when you have two really big cornerstone clients leave at the same time, that's really tough on a business. But fortunately, I had Pulse and I had the other agency, Deluge Studios, which had the smaller projects coming in and being really healthy business. And those kind of saved Simple Focus. And so those investments worked out, but it was down to the wire. It really was. And one of the things that I fell in love with the Pulse acquisition was the idea that a SaaS business, and I didn't know much about what SaaS was, software as a service. SaaS business is a subscription-based service. You have, you know, several hundred customers or several thousand customers who all don't know each other, paying you just a little bit every month automatically on recurring charges to their card. And it creates a very stable cash flow business because on the whole, you can count on customers leaving at a certain percentage rate and coming back at a certain percentage rate. And that creates a situation where cash flow is a lot less up and down like it is for an agency. And so I sort of keyed in on this and said, you know, I ought to do some more of this. And in addition to working on growing Pulse, I began to look for other apps to buy. And I came across Ballpark, which was just a fantastic app with a great reputation from a great agency. I made that deal happen. And then, you know, really quickly, people started hearing that I was buying SaaS apps and they started contacting me. And I started saying, yeah, sure, I'll take a look. And, you know, real quickly bought Temper.io and PopSurvey.com from David Hauser, who had just sold his company Grasshopper for, you know, a good profit and was looking for an opportunity to, you know, not have to worry about these two small apps. And then, Carl, you introduced me because you'd heard I was looking for apps. You introduced me to Garrett, and yep. We made the Sifter deal happen, which was the biggest deal to date, a great app. You know, by far, you know, a superior issue and bug tracking system for agencies. And now all of a sudden we've got some really stable cash flow from these businesses. You know, there's some challenges with running them. They're a lot different than running an agency. And, you know, we've figured all that out, but a lot of our customers are digital product companies. And so they've really helped us do a better job for our customers while stabilizing our cash flow. And now we're focused on sort of improving these products, making them better, growing the customer base, and doing all that through you know, this new thing that I'm learning about, which is marketing, which I've never really been a marketing guy myself. I've always been a product guy. And, you know, you can make a product awesome all day long, but if you don't promote it, it's hard to really grow the business. And so now we're focusing on our marketing capabilities and writing more and drawing little pictures to go with our blog posts and all that cool stuff. And then looking at pay-per-click advertising and really developing a full, rich set of capabilities for managing these SaaS companies in addition to all the customer work that we're doing for the agency side. And we're just a lot more well-rounded because of the SaaS deals as well on the Simple Focus side.
So what was the original seed of an idea when you – was Pulse the first one that you bought?
Yeah, Pulse was the first business I bought. And
so why did you do that? Like what made you say, I want to buy this particular app?
Well, it was started by a couple of guys in Memphis where I'm from.
Okay.
Who I know and respect a great deal. So there was the personal relationship to the guys who started it. I guess the short answer to that question, though, is that when I looked at it, it looked like a really good investment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to make it sound like these guys completely neglected the app, because they did. You know, they did take care of it, just not the best care. So what had happened was these guys in about 2006, 2007 were running a little agency in Memphis called Clear Function. Incidentally, a couple of years ago, I bought the name and domain name from them because Clear Function no longer exists. And I've actually started a development agency called Clear Function because I like the name so much. But anyway, so these guys are running Clear Function in 2006. And that was about the time that Basecamp was sort of kicking things off and saying, hey, we're going to make simple apps and, you know, we're going to turn our agency into a product business. And, you know, all the agencies of the world wanted to do that. They said, God,
we bought into that 37 signals mythology.
Everybody bought into it. And here's the reason that everybody bought into it. Cause everybody said, clients are stupid, you know? Oh, hey, you know, doing what other people want me to do. I just want to do what I want to do, you know? So, okay. That's childish. But, I understand where that's coming from, you know, because it takes a certain passion and skill set to be, you know, good at the client business. And a lot of times creative people aren't possessors of those skills. I always have had those skills, and I've always tried to enjoy the agency side of the business. So a lot of times I'll get asked, hey, so when these products finally get traction, are you going to shut down the agency side and be a product company? I'm like, no, I'm going to run both businesses. I love agency work. You know, I love the clients. I love having different challenges constantly, you know. I love learning about different businesses. So no, that's never been the plan. Instead, what the plan was to buy a business that looked really good. And here's why it looked good, to get back to answering that question, Carl. The Clear Function guys, this was Aaron Boving and Stephen Rainey. They said, you know, we're sick and tired of coding websites for the local agencies who can't code. The ad agencies in 2006 always right. subbed out their web designs to coders, as they called them, right?
Yeah.
And Aaron and Stephen were very early on in the whole digital design revolution were designers who code, right? Mm-hmm. And they did a good job with it. And what they decided was they're going to shut down their consulting business for a month and focus on building a product. And they were going to blog the whole experience, and they called it the 1 month app. And so they blogged lessons learned, coming up with a business plan, developing features and branding and coding and tooling and design and UX and all of this. And over 30 days built an app without knowing on day one what app they were going to build. And of course, this got picked up by the front page of Dig, if you remember when that was a thing.
I do.
And a lot of people paid attention to what these guys were doing and applauded them, and they got a lot of recognition for it. And they put a free version of Pulse out on the market.
Wow.
And then 2 years later, they had probably 100, 150 people using it consistently. I believe Engine was one of them.
We grabbed it quickly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because you read the front page of Dig in 2006. And a lot of other creative agencies did the same thing. Matter of fact, it's kind of interesting that the apps we own are what I call for us, by us apps. A lot of right. our customers are creative agencies, creative professionals. And there's nothing about Pulse specifically that ties it to the creative industry, but 65% of our customers are from the creative professional services world.
I think what ties it is that it's not an Excel spreadsheet and it's not QuickBooks. And so we were true. Like, this looks more better. Visual. I think I want to use this. And seriously, I think, I mean, we're still customers.
Yeah.
And Engine doesn't even have clients anymore. Mm-hmm. So JD, I'm sorry, but you're going to lose one probably later today.
That's fine. That's fine. You know, we'll chalk it up to our monthly churn rate, and I'll have to work harder on marketing. But we'll also remarket to you in a couple of months.
There you go.
So, to quickly put a bow on this, Carl.
Yeah.
I apologize.
No, you're good.
What happened was that two years later they put a paid version out, and it got another bump in interest, and they grew over a couple of years to several hundred customers. And then they sort of got moved on to other things. Aaron went into the ministry full time, and Stephen got a sweet job working for a tech company, and ended up being the director at KISS of engineering at KISSmetrics for a while. And so they just lost interest yeah. in maintaining an app and splitting the revenue, and it just wasn't worth it to them financially because it was a small business. It wasn't making $1 million or anything like that. And they were splitting it, and it was just a distraction for them. Hmm. And they spent 2 years trying to shop it out, almost 3 years trying to shop it out and find a buyer. And they couldn't because it was too small for anybody with that kind of money to be interested in. Mm-hmm. It was too big for anybody without any money to be able to buy. And so at that time, I was, the right size. And I looked at it, and I saw that over the last 3 years while they were shopping it out and had been distracted – they stopped focusing on adding features. Mm-hmm. Their customer support got slower. their responses on customer support and sales emails got shorter, and basically they put it on autopilot. Well, here's the magical thing that happened. Because Pulse is such a valuable app, even on autopilot, it ticked up 1 or 2% in growth every year.
Wow.
So what I saw was a business model, this SaaS model, which I didn't know anything about SaaS at the time, but I saw this recurring revenue model where you lose 10 customers a month and you gain 10.1 customers a month over 3 years with no marketing, no advertising, barely any customer support, no new features. And I said, holy crap, how could I screw that up?
if you just give it a little love or leave it alone.
Right? I gave it a little love, and we have tripled the size of that business in the last 2.5 years.
Wow.
It's been incredible. And when I saw that a little bit of love goes a long way with a SaaS business, I said, holy cow, I've got to do that again. And if you go to the Ballpark blog, you'll stumble upon the post we wrote when we bought Ballpark, and we kind of laid it all out there. We said, holy cow, we had such a great experience with Pulse, we want to do it again, and Ballpark is perfect. It's something we love, it's something we know, it's something that's great already, it sells itself, and we want to just work on it and make it better.
So you're doing this, you've done it multiple times now, right? You, along with the two agencies, you've got the 6 SaaS apps, and you've tripled the size of Pulse, and I would imagine that that would basically translate to tripling in terms of the profits, or at least the bottom line.
Yeah, so, the net income has tripled. The expenses haven't gone up at all.
Yeah. So are you going to hold on to them? Is this the idea where you grow them and do something else? Or is it just, I want this base of recurring revenue that's got a good distribution?
I want this. I want to de-risk the business as much as possible. See, if you remember 2014, $67.13 in the bank.
Yeah.
I want steady cash flow. I'm not at a point in my career where I'm ready to cash out. Obviously, at any point, if somebody comes along interested in one of the apps and it's the right price, for sure, that's definitely on the table. But what I know about the market right now and what people would probably be willing to pay for these apps, probably not. It'll probably be a while before I'm interested in divesting and selling them. Right now, my whole strategy right now is just to accumulate cash flow through the apps, pick out apps that I can get behind and support and be passionate about that are good products that, that serve our audience, which is going to be creative professional services. You know, design and development agencies for the most part, and do good with them. And when I talk to the sellers of these things, one of the promises I make to them, just my word, more than anything, that more than what's in the contract, is that I will take care of your customers, because these people are passionate about their products. They poured a lot of energy into getting them to where they were, and now they just have something else pulling them in a new direction. It's not that they've given up on them. It's just that they've decided that they need to pass it on down the line.
Well, and I can tell you that Garrett, who's a good friend of mine, and he had Sifter and he built it from the ground up, he was so comfortable with you even after that first conversation. And I got the sense from him saying it that he wasn't sure that you were really real. That the way that you talked about taking care of the app and taking care of the customers, but as he got to know you more, it was just this realization that this is the perfect person. So JD, I've got one.
Can I get that for? I want to get that from you in a quote. And put it on the website, okay?
You've already got me on the. Where I was on the front of Pulse. You may have taken me down by now, but
no. I just want that snippet. He is the perfect person.
Oh no! I'll do it. I can do that for the right amount of cash flow. I will say that frequently. So one final question. How many of these SaaS apps can you handle?
Everybody asks that question. And I have an answer. Because I'm working on a formula that's going to enable
interstellar travel, or
not necessarily Simple Focus, but perhaps a new venture to become a SaaS management company.
Wow.
I'm looking at doing something like that. I've got some conversations going with some people who have talked to me about buying their apps, and I'm not in a position to make those deals happen. because now that I actually understand cash flow management, I've got six SaaS apps going right now. I've got a full plate in terms of deals that I've closed in the last 2 years. I've spent a lot of money buying apps. I've planted a lot of seeds. It's time to wait for some of those to grow. But meanwhile, my team and myself have built up an incredibly valuable base of knowledge on what it takes to run a product business. And if you can imagine a scenario where there's a SaaS founder or owner who has a small, modest app, you know, let's say making between $100,000 and $500,000 a year, and they've got something pulling them in a new direction, but it's hard for them to let go of the app. And, you know, maybe it's not going to sell for, you know, enough for them to pay off their house or anything like that, you know, or for them to retire, and they've got other things pulling in different directions. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if there was a business that could run that app for them? They can maintain the ownership of the business and cash flow from the business, but pay a company that were experts in managing SaaS businesses.
It definitely would be. And I'll tell you, from the moment that you told me about buying the apps, it felt like property to me. And the way that people would flip properties or fix them up and turn them into rental. And now you're talking about property management, right? So you're taking an existing model. Maybe you're not thinking about it that way. It's the way that it, you know, when I hear you say it, because I've always felt like we can learn so much from just looking at other businesses. And real estate is one of the oldest professions, right? Along with restaurants and one other one I can't remember right now. But it's one of those things where it feels like – that was it. It feels like you're replicating – a successful model within our industry. And I have to tell you, it's just exciting for me as somebody who has stumbled along in business and done all right to see somebody learning from what other industries have done. JD, I can't thank you enough for being on the show today and for sharing your experiences and the way that I would say you've turned it around. I know you feel like you've still got a long way to go, but it's been a couple of years almost, and you're kicking, man. You're doing great stuff. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Coral. It was a pleasure.
All right, everybody. We'll be back next week. And until then, be good.